At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on a Thursday, to set the stage for NBA All-Star Weekend. Just a few more games on this Thursday evening before All-Star Weekend around the association in San Francisco in the All-Star break, but well past the midway point of this season. And DRS, as we enter the break, all 30 NBA teams in action last night. A full and robust slate of 15 games for us to recap and react to in this opening hour. We'll talk some college basketball from a Wednesday night that was as well. And would you look at that? The hot stove heating up once again this winter in Major League Baseball, as in places like Arizona and Florida, pitchers and catchers are reporting this week.
It is good. It's nice to see. It's that turnover of the seasons here. You mourn the loss of the NFL. You're going to gain Major League Baseball in just a few weeks. But understand this. Let's start with the hot topics of the day, because Friday, I won't be here. And I just want to let this out here. I put a tweet yesterday, Ben, out, which encapsulates the NBA to my frustration. And it was the fact that Dame Lillard was like, you know what? I'm injured. Can't play tonight. But damn it, I'll be at the All-Star game. And you need 45 minutes at the All-Star game and a three-point competition. I got you at that point here. Just that tweet alone, seeing that response yesterday, just has me on fire this morning and ready to go.
Good. I'm glad that you are ready to go. Even without Damian Lillard, the Bucks pull off a road upset on the road in Minneapolis. We'll talk about that result in just a moment. The Four Nations face-off getting underway last night in Montreal as well. A ton to get to here in these 3 hours. Let's start with that hot stove that largely has been at a simmer the last few weeks as spring training nears. But DRS, yesterday, probably the two major free agents still on the market agree to a new deal in a new home. Alex Bregman, after nearly a decade in Houston with the Astros, 9 years to be exact, is now shipping up to Boston as the newest Red Sox. 3-year, $120 million deal as Alex Bregman now heads to Boston. And if you had any questions, the logo behind him, even in an Astros uniform, should clarify.
Absolutely. And by the way, good move for Boston Red Sox. Spend some of that money. You need some help there. Now Bregman's going to take over at second base. Story's your shortstop. Cassis at first base. Devers at third base. Now you got a pretty good looking infield. And also the slow, systematic dismantling of that world championship product for the Houston Astros day by day seems like it's getting farther and farther away. But finally, you had to spend some money sometime, Boston. Congratulations. Got a pretty good ball player.
3-year deal, $120 million. Opt-outs after each of the first two seasons. Reunites with his former bench coach, in those plagued years of cheating in Houston, Alex Cora, who is the manager in Boston. Of course, Alex Bregman, who has spent most of his career on the hot corner at third for Houston, even winning a gold glove a season ago, now moves to second base. The two-time All-Star turns 31 this upcoming March. Full NBA slate yesterday. All 30 teams in action, meaning 15 games up and down the docket, including, as we enter All-Star weekend, our highest scoring game of the year to this point in the NBA. Nearly 300 total points last night inside the world's most famous arena as the Knicks edge out the Hawks in the highest scoring game of the year in overtime, 149-148. Something about Trae Young in the Garden, DRS, 38 points, 19 dimes, but Karl-Anthony Towns, his second consecutive game of at least 40 points, 44-10 to pace the Knickerbockers last night.
Pretty crazy. The Knicks were able to go into overtime, win that game, put up 149 points, understanding they were traveling from a back-to-back coming home here. But that's why we looked at the Hawks with that price point here, saying they're not going to probably lose this game by 10. Let me take that angle. Worked out there. But Trae Young, you're right. Loves the Garden, always performs, and gets a crowd response. 38-19, phenomenal. Just in a loss, but they did cover. And that's mainly what we all care about, right?
Hawks did cover as an 8-point dog, to Donnie's point. Yep. They've been a good underdog team this year. Yep. You bet your bottom dollar, 241.5 did sky over. Kyrie Irving looking around Dallas and saying, who's here with me anymore? Doesn't matter. 42 points last night to lead the Mavericks to a victory over the Warriors. Golden State was a 6.5-point road favorite. Dallas had other ideas as the underdog. First loss for the Dubs in the third game with Jimmy Butler in uniform.
Yeah, they needed that victory there for the Mavericks. Headed into the break here, decompress that entire franchise with a victory. Sounds good, but also understand this. The Golden State Warriors played last night. You see Steph Curry with 37 minutes. You see Jimmy Butler with 35 minutes. They're on a travel back-to-back before the All-Star break, and a line that's running away from them tonight in Houston. We'll see how that plays out, but good win for the Mavericks last night, no doubt about that.
DRS, you and I could have combined to score 9 points last night in the fourth quarter in Oklahoma City. That would have been more than the Heat scored against the Thunder. 8 points only for Miami in the fourth and final stanza against the NBA's best team. The Thunder on the other end score 32 to rally and win by 14, 115-101. Again, OKC pushes as a closing 14-point favorite, but Oklahoma City at 44-9 DRS will enter All-Star weekend with the best record in the NBA.
Absolutely. And also, that is interesting where it's like, hey, you woke up in the morning. Well, oh, good. At least I got that push. Then you see that fourth quarter, 32-8. Like, come on now. Like, where does that actually happen? Good win for the Thunder heading into the break, I should say. 44 wins. By the way, do that. I believe the Thunder play tonight. Is that correct?
They do.
So look at they're looking to stay under 10 losses by the break. That's pretty impressive.
8-point road favorite for OKC on the second leg of a back-to-back. The T-Wolves also on the second leg of a back-to-back. And as we shared, got beat by Milwaukee on their own home floor as a hefty favorite last night. Let's go to college basketball. The 10-game win streak for St. John's has now come to a close. What a wild game it was on the main line. Villanova leading by as many as 11 points in the second half. The Red Storm rallied to even it up and even take a late lead in the final minute of regulation. But Tyler Perkins hits a three to give Nova the win, 73-71, with only 9 ticks remaining in regulation. Villanova wins outright as a 2.5-point home underdog. That line alone, DRS, should have alerted everybody.
Yes, the public was all over St. John's yesterday. I actually like the Villanova matchup because the one thing that we do know is Villanova will let you shoot the 3-point shot, and St. John's necessarily doesn't want to do that. St. John's took 37 3-point shots last night, made under 30% of those. That was a catalyst. Villanova at home picks up the victory, a much needed victory for the Wildcats.
Let's go from college basketball to college football. Ohio State needs a new defensive coordinator, and the Buckeyes have found one in a familiar name, Matt Patricia. Yeah, Matt Patricia, longtime Patriots DC, and of course, Lions head coach, most recently in the NFL with the Eagles, is now going to become the defensive coordinator in Columbus.
It's a big name. It's an NFL guy. But get ready, Columbus. You're going to have a lot of wide receivers running wide open. Not because your players aren't good or sufficient enough to play. It's because there will be blown coverages because he can't teach the position of defensive back correctly. If you watch anything that the Eagles were doing when Matt Patricia was running the show.
It's an interesting hire, to say the least. Four Nations face-off. The opener last night in Canada's home nation in Montreal. And in overtime, the Canadians beat the Swedes 4-2-3. Sid the Kid with three assists. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Almost sounded like we needed to come to the rescue.
Yeah.
A huge NBA slate on a Wednesday evening around the association on the eve of the final day before the All-Star break in the NBA. That begins on Friday, tomorrow, by the way, in San Francisco. So DRS, in the closing days before that All-Star weekend and the All-Star break in the association, all 30 NBA teams in action last night, 15 total games, a full schedule. We recap and react to it all. The Lakers seemingly had a rather easy game. For the second one, featuring Luka Doncic, both against the Utah Jazz, the first in L.A., now in Salt Lake. The Lakers were a 9-point road favorite against the Jazz, who had the second worst record in the NBA's Western Conference. Utah had other ideas last night at home, winning outright as a 9-point home dog, 131-119, a total of 235.5 skies over. DRS, not just an outright upset victory for the Jazz, but snapping the Lake Show's 6-game win streak last night in Salt Lake as well.
Yeah, I thought this would be another blowout for the Lakers, to be honest, but it does get a little bit tricky before the All-Star break where people start to check out. But the one thing I guess we can agree upon so far with Luka coming to the Lakers, he's fat and out of shape. Is that it? Is that what it is? He plays 20 minutes a game, even in blowout wins, blowout losses. You know, you take a look at the points, 6 of 13, very inefficient, just like he was in game number one, barely could make 3-point shots. I think he was like 1 of 7 or 1 of 8 in that first game. At least he was 3 for 8 in this game overall, a minus 19 leading all starters in a bad category. So maybe he'll get some cardio shape over the break here and he can get back into form, because I don't know what the Lakers' plan is. Either you're going to play him and he's full gas and ready to go, or you're saying, boy, he doesn't really want to work out, so we'll work him out during the game. I don't understand what's going on with Luka at this point.
Yeah, it's really interesting, DRS, to see those numbers, which has not been what they had expected out of Luka Doncic so far, or certainly what the prop market has expected either. Under all of his props for his second consecutive game in the purple and gold, 16 points, 4 boards, 4 dimes in only 23 minutes. The Lakers now 15-14-1. Against the spread as a favorite this year. The Jazz have been booked as an underdog now in 52 of their total 53 games this season. And Donnie, although the record is only 13-40, they're 27-25 against the spread as that dog. And Lauri Markkanen, big night last night, gave him 32 points and a plus 35 to lead Utah to the upset. The Lakers see their 6-game win streak come to a close. And one final point, DRS, from the odds perspective, that might paint what the Lakers are going to have to deal with in the stretch run of this season is a lack of defense. Luka Doncic, not a great defender. I think he would probably tell you that. You lose Anthony Davis. You tried to add a big man in the front court to solidify those defensive rotations. Unable to do so with the failed physical of Mark Williams. The Lakers have now gone over in 7 of their last 8 games, DRS, entering the All-Star break.
Yeah, and you're also looking for that big man where they signed Alex Len. Now, he got 22 minutes last night, but that's not going to say, hey, Laker Nation, we finally found our big man. Jackson Hayes, 7 minutes yesterday played in that ball game, ends up with 4 points. So it is an issue that they're going to have. Superstar power they have, but also you still want, Ben, that balanced lineup. But there's no excuses last night. The Jazz came into that game, what, 12-40 and 5-18 at home. You're supposed to wipe the floor with them again and head into the All-Star break. Now, granted, the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. They're 30 and 32-20. It's not that big of a deal, but it's also not that big of a deal if you lose to a quality opponent before the break, not one of those doormats.
Yeah, absolutely so. And not a great performance out of Luka Doncic. Tonight, around the association, there are only five games. The Lakers are not playing. The Jazz are home hosting the other LA team in the Clippers. So that will be the last time we see Luka in a Lakers uniform until after the All-Star break. Yeah. Again, just his second game, not only as a Laker, but since Christmas Day. Bronny James, career best 9 points last night, played all eight of his minutes in the fourth quarter. Perhaps DRS, the two biggest blockbuster deals during NBA trade deadline week, Luka Doncic coming over to LA, Jimmy Butler, now a Golden State Warrior, his third game as a dub last night, expecting a third consecutive dub for the Warriors, did not get that in Dallas. The Golden State Warriors lose outright, 111-107, as the Mavs win as a 6.5-point home underdog, led by 42 points from Kyrie Irving, who is basically Dallas's last hope in that starting rotation.
Yeah, 40 minutes, 15 of 25 from the floor, which included 7 of 10 from three-point range. The new Splash Brothers, right? Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson, who chipped in for another 5 triples to combine for 12 total. Good victory yesterday for them, but I think the Golden State Warriors have a decent squad for the second half. They are 500 at the break. They're probably going to expect much better results in the second half part of the season, but the Dallas Mavericks in that sweet spot of 29-26. Where can we go from here? Is Anthony Davis coming back sooner than later? But that's one of those performances just for the sanity of the franchise. Like Kyrie Irving said, ooh, I got to hold this whole thing down, because if it does go sideways before the break, which it looks like it was, boy, then you have 6, 7, 8 days just to stew over that franchise and how mad that fan base is going to be just watching the All-Star game. That was a much needed win for the Dallas Mavericks that they got at home.
Trying to calm some of the waters, they've actually won two of their last three, including in AD's debut. Yeah. But the biggest story of that from Saturday afternoon was the injury. Dallas at home against Jimmy Butler's former team to end out the start of their season before the All-Star break tonight. It's about a pick'em currently inside the American Airlines Arena. Yeah. Golden State's third game with Jimmy Butler, their first loss. They had won the prior two as a road favorite. They had gone over in both. Total 233 and a hook, stays under last night. Jimmy Butler, by the way, has scored at least 20 in all three games as a Warrior so far this season. So the Dallas drama, a little bit quelled. Donnie, look at the overall record for Golden State. They've been flirting with 500 basically for the last month. They're just 27-27.
Yeah, and they need to have a better second half, and they're more equipped to that. They had Draymond Green down for a while. Jimmy Butler finally comes over healthy and reinvigorated. Now, granted, he was minus 17, talking about Jimmy Butler last night, but 21-9-7. That's the type of influence he can have on a game, and they should be better in the second half.
We continue to go through the full NBA slate from yesterday. Today, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Wednesday night slate around the NBA, with just one day remaining today before the All-Star break and All-Star weekend in San Francisco. All 15 games last night, all 30 clubs in action. We go to the home of the reigning champs inside TD Garden. The Celtics just an 8.5-point favorite last night against San Antonio. I say just an 8.5-point favorite because Boston has been booked as the favorite side in all but three of their games this year. Why do I even talk? There's the final score, 116-103. They get a home win due to the seas against the San Antonio Spurs, despite a team-high 23 points out of De'Aaron Fox. Boston covers as an 8.5-point home favorite, DRS against San Antonio.
Yeah, and a couple of starters missing from the Boston Celtics, so they weren't even full gas. You're like, no Brown in that lineup, and also I think it was Jrue Holiday still not in there. Yes, I'm looking at it. It was Tatum, Hauser, Horford, Porzingis, and White in the starting lineup, and when you get 32 out of Jason Tatum and 29 out of Kristaps Porzingis, that's a pretty good night. And you take a look at that first quarter yesterday, it was a wrap before that game felt like it even started. 37-19, it was over from there, a 13-point victory for the Boston Celtics. Decent performances by some of the San Antonio Spurs guys, but how about that? Again, down two starters in your lineup, the sign of a great basketball team. Still winning games by double digits. That's how you handle your business.
DRS, it's a little bit unfortunate when you look at San Antonio right now. The acquisition of De'Aaron Fox, he's been a Spur now for five games in uniform. They're just 2-3. There was a thought perhaps that maybe with De'Aaron Fox, that perfect complement in the backcourt to go with the freak that is Victor Wembanyama in the front court, they would pair perfectly and make a run to perhaps the postseason. They're 23-29, six games below 500, and at this moment, three games behind Golden State for what would be the final of four spots in the Western Conference play-in tournament. And the Spurs have still been booked as an underdog in a majority of their games this year, 34 of 52, now 16-18 against the number. A game we talked about early on, only 8 points. That's it. Scored by Miami in the fourth and final quarter last night in Oklahoma City as the Thunder come all the way back. They win the fourth quarter, Donnie, by 24, 32-8. They win by 14. They were trailing entering that fourth and final quarter on their home floor despite being booked as a 14-point home favorite. They push on that favored number. A 14-point win for Oklahoma City, now 44-9. The Thunder do play tonight, but they will at least enter the All-Star break around the NBA with, at worst, matching the Cavs for the best record in the NBA, have a chance to be 45-9 with a road trip to the Twin Cities tonight.
Easily handling their business. Again, the Miami Heat just, you know, flustering around, finally got rid of Jimmy Butler, and maybe they can get some rest here at the All-Star break and make a playoff push at that point. But OKC certainly is the focus, looking like they could be the best team in the NBA and rightfully be the champions of the Western Conference to make it into the finals, which might come against the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Boston Celtics. But I always love that. Like SGA, 32 points. Like, is there a live wire on the net where he understands he can't go above these numbers or he gets like electric shock? Like, I know a couple nights ago with the 50 plus performances, but settles right back into, I live in the low 30s, baby. That's what we do. Great fourth quarter performance, great defensive performance out of OKC in that victory.
Very much so, DRS. As a favorite quite often this year, now 31-17-4 against the numbers. So the second best cover percentage as a favorite side around the NBA. Make that seven consecutive victories for Oklahoma City. They have been a double-digit favorite in five of those seven games. Miami as an underdog, 9-13-1 against the spread. 27 points, 15 boards out of Bam Adebayo. But when you only score eight as a team in the fourth quarter, you're not going to win many games. Donnie, you were heated yesterday looking at the starting rotation for the Milwaukee Bucks on the road in Minneapolis, sitting out Dame Lillard so he could be ready perhaps for All-Star weekend. The T-Wolves, a hefty favorite at home against Milwaukee. 9.5-point spread in favor of Minnesota. And the Bucks, even without Dame, went outright. 103-101.
By the way, 59 rebounds yesterday for the Timberwolves, which means they put up 103 shots themselves, probably rebounding their own misses. 37% from the floor at home, 22% from the three-point line, which included 10 of 44. Terrible performance by the T-Wolves. I don't know. Look, man, maybe they get it together in the second half. I know they're 30-25, but we expected so much better out of the T-Wolves.
There's been a lot of expectation for the Timberwolves this year. Of course, reaching the Western Conference Finals, even without Kat. They're just 16-27 ATS as a favorite. More NBA talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All 30 NBA teams in action, 15 games. We continue in this opening hour to recap everything around the association from a Wednesday night, including, Donnie, now our highest scoring game of this 2024-25 NBA season. Inside Madison Square Garden last night, something about Trae Young in MSG against the New York Knicks that always elicits a sensational performance. In overtime, the Knicks edge out Atlanta, 149-148. The Hawks do cover as an 8-point road underdog, and you better believe 241.5 for the pregame total, skied over nearly 300 combined points, 297 between these two sides, and the Knicks win the game by only one.
How about that? 44 points by Towns. And also, how about Brunson? 36. After a game the night before, we got into foul trouble here, and they still were able to pick up a victory. That's showing some pretty good heart for the Knicks. Flying back from Indianapolis into your building here, awaiting and healthy and rested Hawks team, and you're able to take them in overtime, and your legs didn't give out in that game. And also, how about the Hawks second half? 41 points in the third quarter, yeah. 36 in the fourth quarter, just to force overtime where you thought that the Knicks just might have run out of gas. You look at some of the final statistics there. Only 11 of 26 in an overtime game where they scored 149 points for the New York Knicks. Why? Because they shot 57% overall as a team, just getting to the rack anytime they wanted to do that. But as we know, the Atlanta Hawks show up. The show is with who? It's Trae Young. Loves the Garden. Yeah. He talked about it. 38 and 19. Shot 29 times here. Tried to put that team on his back here. Yeah. Just wasn't enough. But they did get the almighty cover in this game, which, as we like to say, is very important.
Yes, they did, DRS. And in recent years, we have talked about the Hawks' inability, especially in losing efforts, even as an underdog, to keep the game close within margin. Cover as that underdog. Not this year. 22-13 now against the spread as a dog. The last 2 years combined, 34-47-1 against the spread. Total going over 241.5. That has become New York basketball in a weird way. Totals in the upper 230s, low 240s, and often still pushing to the over. When it's your final game before the All-Star break, game number 54, you know Tom Thibodeau, even on the second leg of a change of venue back-to-back, is going to let the boys get out there. Everybody in the starting lineup played at least 42 minutes last night. Karl Anthony Towns, 44 points, 10 boards. That follows up a 40-point, 12-rebound performance the night previous in Indianapolis. Jalen Brunson didn't play a lot against the Pacers because he was in foul trouble, 36 points, 8 dimes last night for New York. The Knicks in a good spot. Entering the All-Star break, where things stand, 36-18, third-best mark around the Eastern Conference. Let's go back out west for a Houston team that continues to be on the rise in those standings. Win last night at home, 119-111 against the Phoenix Suns. However, the Rockets closed as a 9-point home favorite, so Phoenix does get a slight cover, which is interesting for the Suns because they are the worst cover team in the NBA and the worst cover team as an underdog in the NBA this year. But now at least 7-13 against the spread in their 20 games booked as the dog.
The Kevin Durant show last night, 37 points there, played 42 minutes, 15 of 22, very efficient from the floor. And this is another one of those games where, boy, you had to hold on. You're like, okay, I got the Suns with all these points. We're looking great. Only to see the fourth quarter, 35-19 advantage for the Rockets, and your cover almost slips away. No Devin Booker in the lineup. No Bradley Beal available for that game last night. You probably thought they would get hammered in that game. Technically, they did, losing by close to double digits, but they did get the cover. Don't know where the Phoenix Suns are going. Under 500, heading into the break. All of that talent, it almost does. It's just as bad as like the Philadelphia 76ers now with most of their starters starting to come back, and they still stink. It doesn't make any sense where these teams are playing so poorly with so much talent.
Losers of three straight entering the All-Star break for Phoenix. KD, when he became the eighth player ever to score 30,000 career points the other night, had the game-high 34 points. Last night, game-high 37 points. Still, though, in a poor result for the Phoenix Suns, yet another loss. And then you look at Houston, coached by Ime Udoka, trying to get back atop the Western Conference standings because of their wins in a row, now two straight. And the Lakers dropping a game last night in Utah. The Rockets, fourth best record, fourth spot around the Western Conference, 34-20. Balanced effort, all five starters scoring at least 17 points. And how about Amen Thompson? In his second year in the association, the athletic freak is a versatile player, 18 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, triple-double for Amen Thompson last night at home against, or 11 assists, 10 boards, but still for Amen Thompson last night against Phoenix. Houston at home tonight to round out their stretch before the All-Star break. Again, 6.5-point home favorite against the Golden State Warriors. Me likey that number. The Clippers booked as a 5-point favorite. Second leg of a back-to-back for Memphis, and we saw that reflected, Donnie, in the spread. as the Clippers were that 5-point home favorite and make good on the number. 128-114, the victory for LA over the Grizz. Note Ja Morant last night for Memphis, and Kawhi Leonard scores 25 points to lead the Clippers. Your guy, Norm?
Yeah.
Only one made Saving. Triple last night, DRS. That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah, you can't use too many of those three balls here when you got to go out and win on Saturday night on All-Star Weekend in the three-point competition. Also, if you would have told me before the game, brother, yes, Norm Powell's going to have 18 points. Come on, that's at least three three-point shots. It wasn't his night, 1 of 5 total from the three-point line. But he still got the victory, double-digit win over one of the better teams in the NBA. Clippers will take that.
The Grizzlies' second leg of a road back-to-back, again, with a change of venue. However, for Memphis, still 11-8 against the spread as a dog. Still the best cover team in the NBA entering the All-Star break. The Clippers, when booked as a favorite, often for a reason, 18-10 ATS. All five starters last night for LA scoring in double figures. Remember James Harden? I feel like we barely talk about the guy anymore. 18 points, 10 dimes, 8 boards last night. A near triple-double for the Clippers. Again, all 30 teams in action, 15 games. Here's a couple of other notable results. The Denver Nuggets will take the longest win streak into the All-Star break around the NBA. Make it 8 in a row for the Nuggets, led by a career high out of Jamal Murray last night. 55 points to lead Denver to a big win at home against the Portland Trailblazers, 132-121.
Yeah, it was a really big night by him. And also, you say, Jokic had an off night, 26, 15, 10, two steals. No big deal for him. But that's what we anticipate. When you get to the playoffs, this team has a championship pedigree. And if you're going to reach down and get performances in big spots like you saw last night by Jamal Murray, that's a pretty good basketball team, 36-19, that we don't talk about a lot because we just expect every night to be a great night for Denver. And when it's not, that's when we pick on them. But when they win games by double digits, that's what they're supposed to do.
8 consecutive wins for the Nuggets. They have covered in their last 6. And again, a career high 55 points out of Jamal Murray. DRS, when do we put the fork, right? The proverbial fork that we discussed for the Houston Astros all last season in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. When do we put the fork in the Philadelphia 76ers losing against the Brooklyn Nets last night on the road? 196. Like a college basketball result.
Yeah, but Yabusele, Oubre Jr., Jared Butler, and Quentin Grimes in the starting lineup. Oh, but you had Paul George there. 37 minutes, 2 points. Congratulations, Max contract here. Really working out well for them. Once you saw Maxi down, even without Maxi down, we talked about it opening the show yesterday. They're favored, the Sixers. They opened up at 2. They moved to 3. Yeah. Like, who is trusting that? Then Maxi goes out. It's like, oh, that's a wrap. They lose a game. Don't even get to the century mark against a horrible Brooklyn Nets team. Limping into the break, an understatement for the 20-34 Philadelphia 76ers.
It is crazy. 20-34. PG played 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Somehow only took 7 shots. Doesn't make any sense. And yet, the 76ers are just a game and a half out of an Eastern Conference play-in tournament spot. Craziness. College basketball recaps come your way up next. We'll go to some good ball in Philadelphia.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This entire opening hour, a recap hour for all the hoops action that we saw on a Wednesday night, from a full night in the NBA, now to college basketball. DRS, St. John's ranked inside the AP top 10 at number 9, the highest ranking for the Red Storm since the final AP poll of the 1999-2000 season, the last year in which St. John's won an NCAA tournament game, hoping for at least that many more throughout this 2024-25 campaign. They go on the road, winners of 10 in a row, to take on Villanova on the main line as just a slight 2.5-point favorite. But Donnie, after you went to the money line yesterday, I talked about at length at that game. Were the odds makers incorrect, not valuing the Johnnies in the right way? Or should that line only being 2.5 in favor of a team that had won 10 consecutive be telling it turned out to be exactly that. What a great second half we saw yesterday between Nova and St. John's as the Johnnies see their 10-game win streak come to a close, and Tyler Perkins hits the game-winning 3-4 Villanova with 9 seconds remaining in regulation to give the Cats a 73-71 victory outright as a 2.5-point dog in Philadelphia.
15-10 on the season now, Villanova, but more importantly, 8-6 in the Big East here as they try to play themselves into the bubble and maybe get some other opportunities. It starts with a top 10 win over St. John's. And also, Ben, as you pointed out, a very public side in St. John's, a team that's on a roll, the better team overall in the Wildcats. What was the difference there? When you got into the numbers, as we pointed out, St. John's doesn't necessarily like to take the 3-point shot. Nova goes, right, take all you want here. But Nova, very stingy inside the arc, limiting your damage at the rim, which is exactly where St. John's likes to eat. Now, St. John's ended up taking 37 three-point shots. Weren't horrendous there, but shooting under 30%, that was the difference. But also, totality for the team, 44% from the floor. That's usually not good enough to win. A nice night for the Villanova Wildcats. And also, how about Wooga Poplar, Miami's Wooga Poplar, coming over to play 33 minutes, 9 of 14 from the floor, 22 total points, pacing the Cats in a big win out on the pavilion.
DRS, if there is an issue for St. John's, at times it is their lack of offensive efficiency. They are 80th in the country, according to Kenneth Pomeroy. They have the second most efficient defense. They can grind you out on that side of the floor. Kadari Richmond last night, 17 points, 10 dimes. It's what he does. Aaron Scott, 5 made triples to lead St. John's with 22 points. Simeon Welcher, a huge 3 in the final 30 seconds. But, of course, Tyler Perkins had the answer. Zubi Ejiofor, though, in the front court for Rick Pitino in the Red Storm, just 2 points last night. Not exactly what you are hoping for out of one of your bigs to try to pick up your 11th consecutive victory. Big win for Villanova. Just their second cover and outright victory as an underdog in 6 tries in Big East play. But Donnie, more impactful perhaps for St. John's. Still in first in the Big East, a 12-2 conference record. Still 21-4 overall. Still a hefty favorite to win their first Big East regular season crown in more than 3 decades at minus 240. But it sets up a monumental matchup inside the Mecca. And I am not just using that for hyperbole against Creighton on Sunday afternoon. The Blue Jays, 11-3 in Big East play. Just a game behind St. John's. What a game we have on Sunday.
Absolutely. New York's team, St. John's, at this point. And it's nice to see because the rebirth of the Big East usually deals with New York City being hopping. And then being hopping means St. John's being good again, which they are. Rick Pitino, the Don of all Dons, you know, pulling all the strings there. Love to see it. Amen. Now, granted, you can't win every basketball game. And how many times have we said it on this program? It's hard to win on the road in conference play. And Villanova is a decent opponent now, above 500 here, obviously, as you see in the Big East. And look, if St. John's is good, that's going to draw even more eyes once we see the Big East tournament at the Garden. Oof. You want to talk about it's been a long time since St. John's had the actual home court advantage with a really good basketball team in the Big East tournament. You're going to get that this year. Something of those throwback days, which you look forward to.
Lou Carnesecca, his final year. Of course, Louis, the late, great Louis. The last year he coached St. John's in 1991-92, the last time the Red Storm won a Big East regular season crown. Even with the hiccup last night on the main line, still minus 240 to win the Big East. However, if Creighton were to pull off the road upset inside Madison Square Garden on Sunday, the Blue Jays would be in a prime position to take that Big East crown. Creighton beat St. John's earlier this season in Omaha. What a game we had last night in Lubbock. Texas Tech and Arizona State in double overtime. 111-106. The Red Raiders, ranked 12th in the country, do prevail. Donnie, a wild closing 15 seconds in the first overtime, even to get us to the second extra session. But Texas Tech does come out with a victory. ASU, 15.5-point road dog, does cover.
Yeah, how about that? 3-10 in conference now. Arizona State pushing the limit with the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And by the way, where was the defense in this game? 56% None. From the floor for Arizona State, 57% from the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And by the way, get to the free throw line and convert. 23 made free throws for Texas Tech, only 13 made free throws for Arizona State. That's the difference. That'll do you in.
Tech's leading scorer, JT Toppin, yes, the younger brother of Obi, 41 points, 15 boards last night to lead Grant McCaslin and his Texas Tech team. 10th Big 12 victory for the Red Raiders. Keep an eye on what Texas Tech can do in the Big 12 and potentially the Big Dance. Big victory for Chris Beard and Ole Miss in Columbia against South Carolina, 72-68. The Gamecocks do cover with the hook as a 4.5-point dog. South Carolina still winless, DRS in the SEC, 0-11. Missouri in the other Columbia, road victory at home against Oklahoma in a big way, 82-58. Couple of losses for Mizzou in a row, but Dennis Gates has a really good team there in Columbia this year.
Yeah, and also, you slide it down your eyes a little bit more. Rutgers laying a nice number against Iowa, getting beat in their own building. I say this because Rutgers had the chance, if this worked, where they could be like, and I'm not saying they're going to be Kentucky or Duke at that point, but you can bring in high-quality stars and make them better players and your team be lifted. You can then gain more high-quality stars. Is this a case study and the hell those guys go to Rutgers for at this point? Now Rutgers can't have nice things? I hate to see it.
We'll talk about it more up next around the country in college basketball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
DRS, right before the break, you mentioned the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who were ranked in the AP Top 25 in the preseason poll because of the best recruiting class Rutgers had ever seen. Two of the top three recruits in the nation, Dylan Harper, the product of the Garden State, and Ace Bailey. And when both guys have been out there this year, there's been a couple of bright spots for the Scarlet Knights. Not last night, 5.5-point home favorite against Iowa. Rutgers had a 9-point lead at the break. The Hawkeyes win the second half by 20 in a huge rally effort. 13 for Bailey, only 11 for Harper as Iowa wins outright 84-73 as that 5.5-point favorite. You know your guy, Cooper DeJean, along with Reed Blankenship. Mm-hmm. You know what the meme is, those exciting you-know-whats. Pretty much the same story for Iowa basketball. Josh Dix, 26 points last night. Peyton Sanford, 20. That led Iowa to a huge road victory in the rack.
Yeah, 4-8 in conference play coming in for Iowa on the road, catching almost a touchdown there. You thought Rutgers would be the better basketball team, and you're right, they were. 9-point lead at the break. You got to win those games here. You take a look at Dylan Harper, 29 minutes. Ace Bailey, 28 minutes. Not all that efficient, or should I say efficiency from shooting 4-8 and 5-10, but 13 points and 11 points, that's just not enough. You need your superstar players, high teens, low 20s, carry you to victory, specifically with a 9-point lead. They didn't play all that bad overall. Only got to the free throw line 8 times as a team, made 7 of those, but that's just not good enough. Shot 48% from the floor. That's supposed to be a win at home. Why? Because you gave up 51% from Iowa on the road in a comeback effort here. Bad loss for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. 12-13. Under 500?
Done.
That's not supposed to be it. It's not supposed to be
DRS, the only team in the Big Ten right now with an overall record that is sub 500. Again, Rutgers, a preseason top 25 team. Maybe trying to get to a stage that not many could, or that Rutgers has not in a long time in the NCAA tournament with those two highly touted and talented freshmen. It seems as though Rutgers is now going to miss the NCAA tournament. Not sure the Hawkeyes get there either. A very difficult loss for Steve Peichel and the Scarlet Knights last night. Louisville, meanwhile, trying to keep pace with Duke atop the ACC, routing NC State. Big victory for the Cards, 12-2 in the conference. Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, second and third best recruits in the country. Cooper Flagg was the number one recruit in the country entering this year, and Duke has plenty of that star power. Last night, DRS, as a 23.5-point favorite inside Cameron Indoor, what would be the response for the Blue Devils after suffering their first ACC loss this season on the road on Saturday evening in Clemson, South Carolina? yet another comfortable win in conference action. 21-point win, although Cal did technically cover as a 23.5-point dog, but led by Cooper Flagg, who had 27 points last night. Duke, another big win in ACC play.
Coming across the country, college basketball, not necessarily like the pros here. You expect a good performance out of the Duke Blue Devils against maybe a tired Cal Bears team, which drops to 5-9 in conference play. But you're right, Cooper Flagg, 28 minutes, 8-14 from the floor, 9-9 from the free throw line, 27 points, 18 from Proctor, as you point out. Where's my guy, Khan? Oh, Khan, only 6 points last night. Tough scene out there. Didn't need my guy in that you know, B role here towards Cooper Flagg, but an easy victory, 78-57. It's what Duke is supposed to do.
Con Knipple, 0-3 from 3. 21-3 is the record overall for the Blue Devils this year, 13-1 in the ACC. Donnie, it probably should say that in the 14 games, Duke has been booked as a favorite in every one, a double-digit favorite in 11 of 14. Duke, just 8-6 against the spread in ACC play, which isn't bad. But their average margin of victory is 21.3 points per game, and they're only 8-6 against the number in ACC action, but still a very hefty favorite to win the conference at -1350, and now into minus money, DRS, to reach the Final Four at -110. They had that second best price to win a national championship, just 20 cents back of Auburn. The Tigers, the only other team like the Blue Devils in minus money, expected to be a Final Four team come late March.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And also, it's hard to tell because usually it's like, hey, what's your record at the end of the season? Did you make it through the ACC? Did you win the regular season or the ACC Conference Championship? We're expecting Duke to walk through both of those championships, but maybe not be that team that's been tested all that much. Now, I know they play a pretty good out-of-conference schedule to start the season, but you're not going through what the Big 12 goes through. You're not going through even what the Big 10 goes through, let alone the SEC. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they're fresher, Ben, by the end of the season by doing that.
We shall see, DRS. There is still that idea of freshmen in the NCAA tournament and how successful it can be. Yeah. Second hour of this show next.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.